Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Global Spirits Limited Q4 FY22 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shekhar Swarup. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our Q4 and full year 2022 earnings call. We hope that you've had a chance to go through our results and presentation. With me, I have Mr. Paranjit Gill, CEO Consumer Business, Dr. Bhaskar Rao, Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Nilanjan Sarkar, Chief Financial Officer. At Global Spirits, our strategy has always been to focus on maximizing returns from alcohol.
Yeah.
An alcohol deficit state is one that depends on bringing its alcohol from other surplus states in India for the use of liquor and ethanol within that state. This strategy allows us to maximize capacity utilization at higher prices than other distilleries which are located in surplus states from the very first day that the factory operations start, while investing in our consumer business in that state. This has been our guiding principle since our inception and continues to be the focus for growth in the coming years. In the year gone by, the company demonstrated strong growth in the consumer and manufacturing segments despite significant headwinds, especially in H2, due to the impact of floods and an unprecedented inflationary scenario. Floods at Bihar led to the closure of the unit there for about 120 days and a major overhaul in the power plant of Samal.
Mr. Swarup?
Yes?
So sorry to interrupt. Your voice is breaking up, sir, in between.
Okay, is my voice clear?
Yeah, this is better, sir. Yes, thank you.
Okay, I'll repeat the last sentence. In the year gone by, the company demonstrated strong growth in the consumer and manufacturing segments despite significant headwinds, especially in H2 due to impact of floods and an inflationary cost scenario. The floods at Bihar led to a closure of the unit there for 120 days over Q2 and Q3 and a major planned overhaul in the power plant of our Haryana unit meant the plant unavailable for about 40 days in Q3. On the other hand, measures like procurement of fixed price rice from FCI, which allowed us to sell ethanol at higher prices, lower interest rates, almost 4% versus nearly 8% last year, use of alternative fuels and upstream integration for production of PET bottles were a few initiatives that took place in this year that allowed us to mitigate some effect of the cost increases that are plaguing industry in India and overseas. We continue to generate strong cash flow with this year's net cash flow from operations at 218 crores and healthy return ratios with a return on equity of 24% and return on capital employed of 30% in the year gone by. In the past 3 years, we've generated a total net cash flow from operations of about 495 crores. This has helped us with reducing our long-term debt, as well as investing in expanding capacities, as well as product and market development. Our focus on high cash generation and our capabilities of executing core business at most efficient investment levels in the industry gives us the confidence to further expand our footprint of manufacturing, as well as gain more market in the consumer business. Going forward, price hikes in Rajasthan, an expansion of Bihar by 20% in capacity without addition of plant and machinery, addition of Jharkhand capacity, growth in consumer business, as well as intelligent purchase of fuel will further support profitability and fuel our growth. I request Param to speak more about our consumer business initiatives and strategy.
Thanks, Shekhar. Good afternoon, everyone, and I hope you are all well.
Our consumer business in FY22 has continued to witness strong traction with volume growth of 19% year-on-year to about 14.6 million cases and value or realization growth of 11% year-on-year to about rupees 461 per case. The value plus segment continued to drive the overall growth in consumer business and clocked sales growth of almost 77% year-on-year to 4.87 million cases in FY22. On a quarterly basis, volumes were flat for year-on-year and Q-on-Q. This is primarily due to Haryana, where the current excise policy, which is ending in 2 years, has been winding down. This is a normal procedure whenever the excise policy changes and the market will normalize, and we are expecting the size opportunity as well as the growth opportunity to stay attractive for us. Let me take you through a quick analysis and strategy for this segment. In Rajasthan, our market share has increased to almost 32% on the back of strong performance of the value plus segment, where our market share has increased to almost 45% in Q4 of the current year versus about 30%-35% during last year. In Q4 of this year, an additional whiskey brand named Globus Green has been launched towards the end of March. We believe that this will play an anchor role to strengthen Globus's whiskey share in the state. In Haryana, we have gained marginal market share and are now at about 10%. We will continue with increased focus on metro liquor, which market is expected to grow in the year 2022-23. The new offerings which have been planned will again play in the value plus segment and have the ability to shore up our profitability and business. In West Bengal too, our market share has seen some gain to a little over 2%, with still having a huge headroom for growth. Our recent expansion at West Bengal facility is about to give us an added impetus to not only expand our portfolio of offerings, but this will also allow us to capture sudden market surges in that geography. We launched County Club in the value plus segment towards the end of April 22 and look forward to additional volumes and positive margin in months to come. In the premium liquor segment, where our focus has been the 5 key markets, you will be happy to know that our brands have been introduced in Uttar Pradesh and Delhi. Further, we have re-energized and expanded our portfolio in West Bengal, backed by local production, thereby allowing us to expand quickly and efficiently in the entire state. Pirai, India Dry Gin, has also been extended to Uttar Pradesh, West Bengal, Rajasthan, and Mumbai. In the pipeline, we have plans to introduce Governor's Reserve, Oaktown Premium Whiskey, as well as Pirai in the Q1 of FY23 in Haryana, followed subsequently by introduction in the state of Telangana towards the end of Q1 or early Q2. Through these ongoing initiatives in select markets, we are hopeful to contribute meaningfully in the semi-premium and premium segment growth. I am looking forward to a very exciting journey ahead with the support of all the stakeholders. I will request Dr. Roy now to lead the conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gill. Good afternoon, everyone. Let me now take you through the operational performance of the company and update you about the upcoming activities, capacities. On the manufacturing side, we are leveraging our 3 decades of operational capabilities towards the emerging alcohol deficit on the back of high procurement of ethanol for fuel blending. This approach has helped us deliver consistent performance and is poised well for further growth in the coming years. Total sale in FY22 was 116 million liters, growth of 13% year-to-year and by 41% year-on-year to 40.1 million liters in quarter 4 of FY22. The average realization for FY22 was rupees 55.90, higher by 5% compared to the last year and higher by 8% year-on-year to rupees 58.6 in quarter 4 of FY22. Capacity utilization was 83% in FY22. Bihar and Haryana plant closures, the reasons already explained by Mr. Shekhar Saru, were the main reasons behind the shortfall. Both plants are operating at normal capacity since mid of December 21. We also added new capacity of 140 KLPD at West Bengal in mid December 21, which operated at normal capacity in quarter 4 of FY22, leading to an increase in the share in the manufacturing business to almost 59% of the total revenue in FY22 and 67% in the fourth quarter. Short update on projects underway. Jharkhand, on track to commission greenfield capacity of 140 KLPD by end of the quarter 1 of FY23. Further, we have also started work on enhancing the capacity at West Bengal and Jharkhand by 60 KLPD more at each of the locations, with a total combined capital outlay of approximately rupees 600 million. This is expected to be commissioned by quarter 4 of FY23. Now, Orissa, new capacity of 200 KLPD for ethanol and ENA with bottling plants, for which land acquisition has been already completed fully for 25 acres. We expect to start the construction later in this financial year. Next, Uttar Pradesh. New capacity of 200 KLPD for ethanol and ENA with bottling capacity, for which land acquisition is underway. We expect to start construction in the next financial year. To sum it up, our capacity, which currently stands at almost 665 KLPD, is expected to increase to 925 KLPD by end of FY23. I will now request Mr. Nilanjan to continue with financial updates.
Thank you, Dr. Roy. Good afternoon, all. I'll take you through the financial update. The consolidated net revenue recorded a growth of 28.3% year-on-year to rupees 1579 crores in FY22 and 34% year-on-year to rupees 479 crore in quarter 4 FY22 on the back of growth in both consumer and manufacturing segments. In terms of segmental breakup, the consumer segment's revenue recorded a growth of 32% year-on-year to rupees 679 crores in FY22 and a growth of 6% year-on-year to 168 crores in Q4 of FY22. The manufacturing segment continued to grow strongly at 19% year-on-year to rupees 651 crore in FY22 and by 53% year-on-year and 90% quarter-on-quarter to rupees 235 crore in quarter 4 of FY22. Coming to the margins, which were impacted due to higher cost, effective second half of the fiscal. The increase in raw material, fuel cost, and packing cost is the major reason behind the hit in margins. The fuel and packaging cost increased by 37% and 40% year-on-year in FY22, respectively compared to the last year. Further, the planned shutdowns also impacted the margins to the tune of almost 45 crores at EBITDA level in FY22. The company is gradually moving towards procuring LCI rice as its raw material, which will help to bring sustainability to the margins as it is procured at a fixed price. Also, the price of ethanol increased by rupees 1.37 per liter, and a price hike in Rajasthan will aid margins. The company has generated a net cash flow from operations of rupees 218.7 crores in FY22 due to growth in business and improved profitability, and lower finance costs due to pairing of debt and lower cost of debt. Our return ratios, ROE and ROCE, have remained in the same range compared to FY22, and in FY21 are 24% and 30% respectively. The Board of Directors has recommended a dividend of 30%, that is rupees 3 per equity share for the FY22, against rupees 2 per share of FY21. This concludes my report on the financial highlights. I would now request the operator to open the forum for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. first question is from the line of Anshul Verdia from Edelweiss Wealth Research. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity, sir. My first question is on the gross margins. So gross margin has seen a fall in this quarter. However, from first quarter of FY23, I see some levers to cushion that fall, like we are switching to FCI rice and there's a price hike in Rajasthan. So would you be able to quantify what margin expansion can come from these two activities, assuming everything else remains same?
Thanks, Andrew. So there are two reasons for the drop in margins. One is the fact that our consumer business share in Q4 as compared to the previous quarters is lower for the reasons mentioned by PSG earlier. And the other is that obviously there's been a significant inflationary trend. So on grain, we've reached a level where there'll be no further inflationary impact, especially on the ethanol side, because we'll be procuring rice from FCI. It no longer makes sense to convert broken rice or damaged rice into ethanol because of the price of that material. On the other hand, fuel is an area of concern and continues to be, and we have to see how the initiatives on fuel costs is going to play out. Initiatives of the government on helping fuel inflation are going to play out. But internally, what we've already done on fuel is to increase use of alternative fuels, agri-based, etc., to mitigate some of those increases. So we have to wait and watch and see how the rest of the quarter pans out. It's difficult for me to give a guidance.
Got it, sir. Thank you. Second, on the two expansion of the 60 KLPD each, which we have announced in this with this result. So if I see it on the per crore, on the basis of the investment per crore on the KLPD, they are on the lesser side as compared to our past investments. So how confident are of these expansion coming by the end of this year, given the inflationary environment, the steel cost and everything in the market? So any thoughts on that?
No, our project costs are, for the big ticket items, our project costs are completely fixed and orders and advances have been paid. So, you know, there may be some change on minor materials, but on major materials such as stainless steel or large equipment, there's no impact that is expected. And in terms of timing, we are very confident. This is something that we do regularly, set up plant and machinery. So we are very confident about our timelines. Unless obviously there's something unexpected that happens, we are quite confident.
Thanks. And last one, in FY22, if I see the byproduct sales as a percentage of the net sales, it has grown to 20% as compared to 11% last year. So what is actually driving this? Like now 20% is a big amount of the total sales in byproducts.
Yeah, so, reduction in consumer business in the last quarter and an increase in the manufacturing business in this quarter will impact that number quite dramatically. In the year that, in earlier part of the year, we saw a very high, a rapid increase in byproduct prices. A lot of that has cooled off in Q3 and Q4, which too led to expansion of revenue from then. This byproduct, we have two major byproducts. One is used for animal feed and the other is carbon dioxide. So animal feed portion is what saw most of this growth.
Okay, thanks. That's helpful. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Awasthi from InCred Equities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So I wanted some details on absolute numbers, if you could point out. So now you said that FCI rice is going to put a cushion because you have a stability in your buying price of rice, which was not there when you were procuring from the market with ups and downs, obviously, because the market trend sizes. So if you could put a range of gross profit margin which you will generate for the ethanol business, given that your procurement will be from FCI.
Like I mentioned earlier to the person who asked the question before you, Nitin, fuel is a open-ended thing for us. The kind of inflation we've seen on fuel across industries over the last few months has been quite unprecedented. We have to wait and watch and see how this plays out.
No, I'm just asking about the raw material price spread, not the fuel spread, not considering the fuel.
So what about raw material?
No, so you, the spread between your purchase of price of rice and your selling price of ethanol, the spread, trying to understand that dynamic. So that dynamic had fallen, so it was close to 50%, has come down to 32% roughly, or maybe lower, given on the procurement of rice from outside. Now you're shifting to FCI. Well, that puts a cushion to it. So we wanted to understand the dynamics. Will there have been improvement? How much improvement are you expecting? Will it go back to 45%?
No. So I'm not foreseeing any improvement per se. What I'm the point of FCI is that there is going to be no further erosion due to increase in raw material prices. In the current situation, the price of rice from the market or from FCI is FCI route is more profitable than the market route. If the market route becomes more profitable, then we'll switch to that.
Got it. And so the next question is on the power plant. You have continuously in your conversations, kept on saying that you're looking at innovative methods, you're looking at policies to reduce this cost. Could you highlight some of these methods or policies, or the main ones at least, that you're looking at to mitigate this power cost? Because that has wrecked and has often come in.
So the reason we purchase power is to generate, purchase fuel is to generate steam. Steam is required for our process to make alcohol. In process of producing steam, we also produce electricity. Electricity is a byproduct of the steam production process. Electricity is also required at our distilleries. There are three types of fuels that we use. Coal, husk of rice and mustard crop, as well as other waste residues of the agricultural process. That's the third type. And waste residues is a variety of materials such as straw, such as wood chips, and there are several other such biomass which comes under the other category. Traditionally, we have been 80-90% of our fuel has been rice husk or mustard husk. Over the last few months, we have also added coal as an option, and we have added in certain, in Haryana, other fuels as an option. Going forward, coal purchase, we have now shifted our, we are attempting to shift our entire coal purchase directly from coal fields, reducing the sort of inefficiencies in terms of the middlemen and other transportation. That impact should start coming in from June, as soon as coal starts getting allotted to non-power plant uses. Currently, government is prioritizing power plant allocation of coal. Other biomass is very profitable for us. However, the use is limited to Haryana. We are working internally on expanding technical capabilities in other units to use that fuel as well.
Understood, sir. So nextly, wanted to ask you expansion. You have stated in your opening remarks that Orissa, you're looking to start construction later in this financial year, whereas in UP, you're looking to start construction next financial year. Why the delay for the UP plant?
We have to manage with the capital that we have, Nitin. Okay. So by next year, mid-next year, you are expecting Odisha to come online then?
Yeah. So I mean, I'm not giving any guidance yet on when we expect it to start. Our track record is typically 12 months. I'm forecasting that later this year, we'll start construction in Odisha. But as of now, I'm not able to give any expectation on when that factory will start.
Okay. And UP, like you said, will be the next financial year.
Yeah. As of now, what we have clarity about is that 995 or something close to that figure is what will be the capacity by the end of this financial year.
Understood. Understood. So last question from my side. DDGS prices currently at the what are they trading at, and what were they during the quarter?
Yeah. So DDGS Q4 average was, Nilanjan, please correct me if I'm wrong, but was around 34 or 32 rupees. In the previous quarters, I think it was around 36, 37 rupees. So about  10%-15% correction there has happened.
Yes, correct.
And right now?
It varies from state to state, but let's wait for Q1 to finish before we talk about Q1.
Okay. And the GST, you got any this thing, any headway in the GST case on DDGS?
We had a couple of hearings, but the judgment is now reserved till after the summer vacation. So end of July is when it's going to come up again. Hopefully, that's when the judgment will come through.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you so much for answering all the questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kaustubh Pawaskar from Sharekhan. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for giving me the opportunity. So my question is on the consumer business. So this quarter, as sir mentioned, that there were flat volumes mainly because of the Haryana market where there was a loss of sales because of the change in the excise policy. So when can we expect it to stabilize, and when should we expect growth recovering to mid-teen kind of volume for our consumer business?
Thanks. As I said, it's a routine occurrence. And since it was a two-year policy, obviously, last year there was no change in policy. So market has already stabilized. The new policy is already kicking in about 2 weeks' time. And currently, the business is starting to run normal. So it's, as I said, a very transitionary thing. If it happens every year, nobody notices. But this time, since the policy was extended to 2 years, we are just able to notice that dip. Yeah.
Right, sir. My second question is, again, on more from a margin perspective, a little bit on the longer term, 2 years time frame. So now, since our capacity is going up to around 950 to 990 KLPD, and this year we ended with a mix of around 57 to 43 for bulk and consumer business. So over the next 2 years, where do you expect this mix to be? At around 55 to 45, considering the fact that you have a strong order booking for your ethanol business, and that would result in that mix to remain at around 55 to 45, and this should result in a lower kind of EBITDA margins at around 20 to 22%, lesser than what it was around 24% few quarters back.
If I understand your question correctly, you're asking what will be the revenue breakup between consumer and manufacturing going forward.
Right.
So, this is something that has come up regularly in the earlier calls as well. The nature of the manufacturing business is that as soon as capacities come up, and considering we set up capacities in deficit states, plus we are good at running these capacities, the entire volume that has been added comes in on the day the factory starts, pretty much. So, you see a significant growth in manufacturing volumes on the day that the factory starts. And then
there is no further volume growth for that capacity. On the other hand, the consumer business is an organic growth process, you know, which could be low in some quarters, in some quarters it could be high. Over a longer period of time, my aspiration is to see that Globus's revenues are 50-50 between manufacturing and consumer. However, it is very difficult for me to break it down into quarter by quarter basis or year basis and tell you in this year it will be so much and in this year it will be so much. But my aspiration and you know, the company's vision is to create a balanced portfolio of revenues between manufacturing and consumer.
Right, sir. So in that context, should we expect, you know, consistent kind of an improvement in your EBITDA margins, provided, you know, everything is stable, like we are seeing, you know, fuel prices correcting over the period of time. I'm not talking from FY23 perspective, more from the 24-25 perspective. Where do you see your margins if everything, you know, has stabilized, even from the raw material point of view, supply situation has normalized and you are getting a bit, you know, better supply of raw materials. So considering that, where could we see our EBITDA margins heading up?
See, you know, in the previous calls, I have said that Q4 of last financial year, those margins is something that I believe is stable for the company. On the other hand, in the last 5-6 months, we've seen unprecedented inflation, especially on account of fuel. Now, you know, this is something that we have to wait and watch and see how it pans out. Yeah, I mean, it's difficult for me to give you a guidance that 24-25 itna margin hamara ho jayega.
Okay, fine. Got it. Thanks, yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Himanshu Shah from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sorry, sir, harping on raw material again, but just can you provide some color, like what has been the inflation percentage on broken rice front from open market purchase, either on an absolute basis, the procurement prices on a YOY or sequential basis, how much it has seen an increase?
Yeah, Nilanjan, do you have that for broken rice?
Yes, the broken rice price has increased by 14%.
Okay, and this is on a YOY basis.
So just want to add to what Nilanjan said. After that 14% increase, we shifted to raw material procured from FCI. Okay, especially for our ethanol business. So whereas the increase in broken rice is much more, but we have been able to hedge that because of shifting our purchase to FCI material.
Okay.
And that is largely on account of higher realizations for ethanol from produced from FCI.
A higher realization and B fixed price of rice from FCI. So the rice that FCI sells us is at a fixed price for the entire year. It's not open to any sort of market movements.
So can you just provide like what would be the current market prices of broken rice and what is the price at which FCI sells it?
So I can tell you in Q4, I want to avoid talking about the current situation. Q4 broken rice prices were between 20,000 and 21,000 rupees per ton, and FCI was about 20,000.
Okay. And fair to assume, sir, current situation might be even slightly worse, sir, especially in backdrop of this Russia-Ukraine war and other stuff probably for the market price of broken rice?
Yeah, you know, we're in the middle of the quarter. I want to avoid talk about this quarter, please.
Fair enough, sir. Fair enough. And secondly, sir, in our what would be the composition of costs between rice versus the fuel cost, and what would be the fuel cost inflation that we would have seen?
Nilanjan mentioned that in his opening remarks. I think it was about 37 or 40% the increase in the fuel.
37%.
Okay, and what would be the composition of costs between fuel and broken rice and other materials, other chemicals, etc.?
We can take that on another call if that's okay with you. Let's give opportunity to the others for questions, please.
Fair, sir. Can I take other question then, sir?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, and so the 40 million volumes which we have done, can you provide some color in bulk alcohol? How much would be for captive use? How much we would have sold to OMCs under our contract? Full year number we are aware of, but is it equally spreaded? So just some guess, and how much would be the sell to alcohol companies? Some split can you provide?
I don't think the team would have that figure handy, but we can get that for you.
Okay, and try to assume the realizations from alcohol companies would be more market link, and that should be on a higher price, whereas OMCs would it's a fixed contract. So the
for us, ENA and ethanol is fungible. Wherever we find there are better margins, we are able to divert volumes there. In certain cases it is higher. So there we shift ethanol to ENA. In certain cases, lower, in which case we make ethanol.
Okay. And so just last question. Animal feed prices, you said, currently is around 36, 37 rupees for Q4. And that is down by 10 to 15% on a sequential basis.
No. 36 is before they came down.
Okay. And so currently they are down by 10 to 15%. Earlier the realization was 36.
In Q4.
Yes. Okay, fine. That's it from my side. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishabh Sisodia from Concept Investwell. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so my first question is on the innovation front, you know, which you have talked about in the IPA, about the new brands that and new products that we are looking at. So if you could just give us some color, like how are we looking at the consumer business going ahead with all of those innovations coming in?
Sure. PSG, could you take that, please?
Yeah, so you know, from the consumer business, obviously, as we have earlier also indicated, we are pursuing growth strategies in both the value plus segment as well as the premium segment. In the value plus segment, we are extending our focus of going into value plus segment, especially in the states of Haryana as well as West Bengal as we speak, and continue to consolidate and grow the strength we have already acquired in Rajasthan. In the premium business, we had a couple of calls earlier highlighted the top line of our strategy of building a runway in the select states where we believe we have the capability to win various certain parameters. And as we talk to you, we are already present in 3 out of the 5 key states, which are Uttar Pradesh, Delhi, as well as West Bengal. And as mentioned in the earlier presentation, the fourth state of Haryana, we are likely to enter towards the end of this quarter, and the fifth state of Telangana towards the beginning of next quarter. With this, our whole focus will be to expand our business and continue to drive business growth in these 5 states, because our initial portfolio has been of 4 brands, and we will use organic as well as inorganic routes to grow this, in the sense that we will be also adding brands and we will continue to work towards growing these brands. So the consumer premium business is expected to expand in the existing states as well as through the addition of two new key markets out of us. So both verticals are going to continue to be focused upon, and in the short term, obviously, you know, it will be a bit of a yo-yo. Sometimes we are successfully, we have defended market share everywhere. Sometimes the success and gain of market share comes in one quarter. Sometimes it takes a little more than a couple of quarters. So very difficult to project how the salience between these two parts of consumer business will play out, but both are being very aggressively pursued. Does that sort of give you clarity?
Yeah, sure, sir. Thank you for that. So my next question is on the bulk side, like the current, what are the current utilizations that you're having in the quarter and any aspirations for the full year?
To capacity utilization, that's the question.
Yeah, I'm expecting what are we currently looking at? But are the currently plants running at close to 100%, and what are we aspiring for the full year?
We are at around 100%, and our aspiration is around 100%.
Okay, thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shiti Saraf from Tusk Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. It's on the consumer business. So you mentioned, Shikhar, that the Rajasthan market share was north of 40% in this quarter. If you could throw some light on what contributed to this.
Thanks. I'll ask Param to take that, please.
Yeah, what we had, thanks, Shikhar. Shitij, what we were indicating is that in the value plus segment of Rajasthan, we are now, in the last quarter, been in the zone of mid-40s market share. Obviously, we have been, over a long period of time, trying to build our route-to-market strength in the market. And these shares are a culmination of many things that we are doing, right from continuously re-energizing and improving the efficiency of our sales force to continuously add improved offerings of our portfolio, trying to zoom down on geographies and segments where we see higher headroom as compared to others. And also, time to time within the market, if you do the sub-segmentation, you see certain areas and geographies and segments growing faster than some of the other areas and segments within the same state. And we think we are very proactive in rearranging our strategies to try and take advantage of these moving consumer orientation and be the first one to try and capture it. So it's a culmination of the bucket of initiatives that and alertness that we always demonstrate.
And could you shed some more light on what your plan in the value plus and the premium segment would be in terms of new launches? Would you be continue to be selective state by state in both the segments?
Yes, as of now, just as we have indicated, we have added value plus segment new entry in West Bengal, and it's very early days, just over a month now, and we are going through our motions of the routine, spreading availability, visibility, all the normal elements, and we are intending to try and elbow and create this market and then be a significant player in this market. In Haryana, where this segment came into being a little earlier than West Bengal, the segment still has a lot of headroom to grow, and we also as a player have been early entrants in the segment. And in the new policy, we are reasonably bullish that this segment will grow and offering us growth opportunities. So these are the two states we are expecting the segment to grow as well as our growth. And Rajasthan, we continue to, you know, keep making efforts to restate our peaks that we keep on achieving from time to time. In the premium segment, at the cost of repeating myself, our initial offering as we stand today is a portfolio of four brands. There is Governor's Reserve, which is in two variants, straddling two adjoining price points in semi-premium and semi-premium plus segments. We have Oakton, which plays in the heart of the premium segment, in whiskey category, as well as we have a premium, super premium Jain Terai. As soon as these brands stabilize and we get control over our route to market basis of our internal expectations, we have a product range of at least two premium brands which are lined up. Whether these products will get to see the light of the tunnel in the next one or two quarters, or we will have to push it a little further, is something which I would not speculate on. The intention is we have to continuously tick all the boxes before we take the next step. And to be very honest, there is enough opportunity of growth within the four brands and the five key geographies that we have operated in. But suffice to say, we have a portfolio which can further be expanded at the press of a button.
That's very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to understand, you did mention your capacity increasing from 665 KLPD to 925 KLPD by end of FY23, right?
Yeah.
So in terms of revenue generation, you expect that that particular, the entire capacity to get fully utilized by FY24?
Yeah, so just very quickly before I come to that, I wanted to add something to what Param was saying to the earlier question. On our premium IMFL business, we are at a stage of capability creation. And the key capability that we're trying to create is route to market or distribution. We've selected these five key states which Param talked about. And once we are confident of our ability to service retail regularly with the brands that are selected, that is when we are going to launch more brands to try to take a larger revenue from the retail outlets that we're already present in. So that's really the strategy that we're running right now, build capabilities. And then once the distribution network is built, it becomes our core asset for the future, and we've got a very long runway in order to exploit that. Thanks for that. So the question right now is about capacity utilization. We utilize our capacities immediately, right? That's why we position them in deficit states. If in Q4 our capacities are going to be 995. Within Q4, we'll start utilizing that to some extent. And obviously, from Q1 onwards, you'll see the full impact of that.
Okay. So ideally, what we're talking about, it's a 40% capacity increase as compared to what we are currently at, right? So ideally, a revenue to capacity, a one-to-one proportion is what one can envisage in terms of...
No, it will be more, right? Because you'll have growth from the consumer business as well.
Right. Right, understood. Fair enough. And so secondly, on the margin front, now you did mention about the various things that we have been doing in terms of procuring rice from FCI and then shifting coal and other efficiencies. So is there any kind of timeline you can just throw in terms of normalization of your EBITDA margin to 25% that you mentioned is sustainable for long term, right? So any sort of rough timeline?
Yeah, I wish I could. Yeah, these are excellent questions. And when do fuel prices come down? When does inflation go back to normal? These are superb questions, but I unfortunately don't have these answers.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Yeah. Okay. That's about it from my side. All the very best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Raju Lewis, an individual investor, please go ahead.
Hi, I'm calling from Dubai, and my question again regarding the EBITDA margin. Because I look at the last conference call in this investor presentation, wherein it was stated very clearly that we will be targeting around 24-25%, and that last investor call was held somewhere mid of February, and I mean, 1.5 months back or 2 months back, and now we are in a very bad situation. So, is there any guidance going forward?
Thank you so much from Dubai. You know, our targets remain to achieve the EBITDA margins that we have sort of indicated earlier. We believe that the business we run in terms of manufacturing business as well as consumer business and the hedge between the two that we're able to offer can certainly give those margins. There are two reasons for the change in margins in this quarter. One is a lower consumer business due to reduction in volumes in Haryana that was expected but one-off, as mentioned by Param earlier. And the second reason is the inflationary pressures in the Indian economy in the last 2 or 3 months of the quarter, in the last 2 months of the quarter. Both of them put together have led to erosion of margins. The extent of inflation that we've seen is has been unexpected. So to that extent, the margins have been lower. It's difficult for me to give an indication on what margins are going to be considering the inflationary situation that we find ourselves in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One more question. When I look at your website, your premium segment is not displayed in your website for quite some time. Is there any reason for that? Like Ocean, all those brands.
That's an astute observation, sir. We were transiting from a separate website for our premium brands, which were housed in a company called Unibev, which was merged with Global Spirits. In process of this changeover, those brands were, to be added. I think we've delayed that quite a bit, and we will add them very soon.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hardik Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. My first question was, there was recently a news article which said that for ethanol from green, the center plans to hike the price by 2 to 3 rupees. So could you throw some light on this?
My information is the same as yours. I read that article as well. Unfortunately, at this stage, I don't have further information to provide you, but considering the inflationary trends, there's no doubt that the government will need to give an increase in price of ethanol. My expectation is that it's only a matter of time that comes through.
Okay. Another question is, you mentioned your average realization is 461 rupees and a further increase of 39 rupees per case in Rajasthan. So considering as and how the current situation is, like your current margin rate, everything, what would be the effect? How much do you think will it increase by from 461? Because Rajasthan is just a part of your business.
Yeah, Rajasthan is a large part of our business, you're right. I would say at least 70% of our volume comes from Rajasthan, or something to that extent. So our average realization will go up by that much. 39 rupees is the increase on the value plus segment, and on the value segment, I think it's around 20 rupees. Nilanjan, can you confirm that, please?
Yes.
20 rupees.
Okay, so from 461, you feel it'll go to around 480, 490 for us?
I think so, but it depends on how volumes shape up in Q1. Rajasthan will continue to be a very large share of our total volumes.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Just one last question regarding some data on the slide. On slide 19, it's mentioned the production per million liter is 162 million liters, while the bulk volume million liters is 116 million liters. So what is the difference between the two?
I am not sure what figure you're talking about. Dr. Roy, did you have this clarity on if it's not available?
Slide 19. It's on your slide 19 presentation.
And may I request that we take this
sure.
Separately? Yeah.
Sure. Okay, I'll write to you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Mehra, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, my question is what are your expectations on the increase in the raw material prices going forward? And what do you think, you know, how much realization growth would be needed to make up the increase in raw material cost? And second is, you know, I think I missed the initial comment. So if you can please share the volume growth for the quarter and realization growth for the quarter. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. The growth in realization and volume is on our presentation. So if you could kindly download that from our website or the exchanges, you'll get that. But with regard to your first question of raw material prices, so our raw material prices are now fixed because we have shifted our procurement to FCI. There will be a small impact due to some broken rice we purchased for our ENA production, but we don't foresee that to be very significant. The main issue is fuel, which has gone up by 37% in the last quarter, and fuel inflation is something that continues for all industries in India. That's something that we have to watch out for. To go back to where we were, I guess we just have to look at Q2, Q1, or Q4 performance of last year. And all the data on that is, again, available, excuse me, on our presentation.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sky Narayanan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yep, so this is Sky from Bangalore. So as you know, I'm an associate of Global Spirits for long. So I guess I got two questions here. So,
Mr. Narayan, sorry to interrupt, sir, but your voice is breaking up. May we request you to move to a better reception area, please?
Is it audible better now?
Yes,
hello?
Sir. Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah. So I just want to ask Shekhar, actually, after this capacity expansion in Jharkhand, Odisha, and Uttar Pradesh, including, right now our capacity is 150 million liters per annum. So how far it can go? That's the first question.
So I can answer that in KLPD. It's a little bit easier for me. Our current capacity is 665 KL per day. By the end of this year, it will be 995 KL per day. In UP and in Odisha, we have proposed another 200 KLPD each. So that will take us to about 1400 KL per day once it is commissioned.
Okay. So basically, we are doubling the capacity, right, in the span of next 2-3 years?
665 to 1400, yeah, okay. You can say it's double.
Right. So now, you said long-term aspiration to balance between the consumer vertical and the manufacturing vertical. So now when the capacity is more than doubled at this point of time, don't you see that we have a huge dependency only on the Rajasthan market for a consumer vertical? More than 70% or 75% of the volume and the realizations are coming from Rajasthan. So now in that scenario, actually going forward, don't you think that the margins, whatever estimate you gave, the quarter four of last financial year couldn't be sustained? And it can come down?
our ambition is to grow our consumer business as well. Dependency on Rajasthan is certainly one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is the fantastic performance Rajasthan has given in the value and value plus segments over the last four to six quarters. So, you know, we are attempting to grow our consumer business in the other states that were mentioned by Param on this call. In terms of margins, as mentioned earlier, it is our attempt and our belief that we will return to our margins of 25% or so. However, in the current inflationary situation, it's very difficult to say how, on a quarter-by-quarter basis, how these margins will evolve.
So seems like we lost the connection for Mr. Narayan. We move to the next question from the line of Ashok Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. My question is that in last conference call, it was mentioned that a brownfield expansion in one of the states is being considered. So any update on that decision?
A brownfield expansion is being considered in West Bengal as well as Jharkhand of 60 KLPD each.
No, that is the new information which has been in this this investor presentation. But last conference call, it was mentioned that maybe 140 KLPD in a brownfield expansion.
Correct, sir.
Existing state. So I was wondering whether maybe Haryana or Rajasthan or like that.
So that is Bengal and Jharkhand, 60 plus 60, okay. 120.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Navneet Bhaiya, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. My question is, first, to Shekhar, how receptive or how frequent is the government or the relevant authorities in giving you price hikes, considering the unprecedented inflationary situation in both your ethanol as well as IMIL segment? Are they meeting more frequent, giving you more frequent price hike, or are they expecting you to take some of the hit, or, you know, across the industry, take the hit because of the inflationary situation?
I would consider them fairly proactive. As mentioned already, we've received price hike in Rajasthan, West Bengal and Haryana is underway. Delhi also, there's been a price hike. Price hike on ethanol is already been made public domain. It hasn't been announced, but it has been discussed. There were some news articles about that and was discussed in this call as well. So I would consider them quite proactive. These things take time, so, you know, it requires patience, but I think they're quite proactive.
Okay, so quarter-on-quarter variance should always be there, but over a slightly longer time frame, the industry should be okay with the margins, as in if the government keeps giving timely price hikes, even if the fuel keeps going up.
Yeah.
Okay, my second question is your land acquisition in Odisha. So is that going to be fully utilized for the 200 KLPD, or you would have, you know, spare to, you know, consider for the brownfield?
We'll have some spare.
Okay. And my last question is the FCI route that you mentioned, is that something you started doing in Q4, or is that a Q1 phenomenon?
No, we started that in Q4. So therefore, the impact due to raw material hike is very small. The main impact on margins has been due to fuel.
Okay, got it. So raw material, you know, we can maybe consider Q4 to be the stabilized environment. Of course, fuel can keep moving here and there to further impact your margins or benefit.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Thank you so much, Shekhar. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gagan Azad from Standard Chartered Bank. Please go ahead.
Do you want that, or should I ask client to share that with you?
Azad,
Let's move to the next question.
Yeah, the next question is from the line of Nitin Awasthi from InCred Equities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up. So just wanted some rate from your side. ENA prices in West Bengal, if you could just highlight in the last quarter gone by.
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
ENA prices in West Bengal.
What about them?
No, could you give me the actual price in the last quarter?
I think it was about 56 rupees, Nilanjan. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Sorry, if I couldn't hear you. Could you repeat that?
56.
Okay, 56. Okay, so we haven't seen that kind of inflation that we have seen in the raw materials in the ENA as well as now.
Not in West Bengal. We've seen that in Rajasthan and Haryana.
And Haryana, what would be the prices?
58 and 60.
Yes.
Okay. Haryana plus 60. Okay, got it. So, and one more last thing from my side. The tax rate, you know, we had a discussion last call that, you know, there will be a reduction in the tax rate. And you will come to the newer regime that you start giving your tax rate would be around 26%. So by when will that start, or
So this was discussed in the board meeting as well, and you know, most likely it's going to be made effective this year. You know, we have up till September to decide. Suffice it to say, our priority on deciding tax rate is first going to be on cash outlay. In the older regime, our cash outlay on the count of tax was about 19%, whereas our effective tax rate was 35%. And the difference between the two of 16% was the MAT credit that we were able to utilize due to various incentives or benefits that we had available. There are no new incentives or benefits that are being made available, but we still have some benefit due to an accelerated depreciation, considering our power plants use renewable energy sources. So, you know, over the course of this year, we'll give you further updates on this. Like I said, by September is when we have to decide. But most likely, it's going to be the new tax regime.
Got it, sir. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anshul Wadia from Edelweiss Wealth Research. Please go ahead.
Thanks again for this opportunity. So just one follow-up on the earlier participant's question. Like, we started using FCA as price in the fourth quarter. So could you give us a broad ballpark number? What percentage of that rice was procured for the ethanol production?
You know, I'll have to look at our MISs for that. So if all right with you, can we provide that later?
Sure. Thanks. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishabh Sisodia from Concept Investwell. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for follow-up. So just one small question, like, what is the difference between the...
Sorry to interrupt, but your voice is breaking up.
Okay, hello. Am I audible now?
Yes, please proceed.
So, as per the data provided in the presentation, should we fairly assume that the difference between the production and the volume that we sell, the difference is being internally consumed in the bulk?
Yes, I think so. Is that right, Nivalda?
Okay. Yes.
And going forward, we should expect this to stay at these levels, right?
No, well, if you set up more capacities, then your bulk sale increases.
So in the short term, there could be a scenario where for the time being, the bulk revenue could be higher as compared to the bulk share.
No, there certainly will be. There certainly will be.
Okay, sure. Sir. Thank you. That's it from my side. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sai Narayanan an individual investor. Please go ahead.
So for this capacity expansion, actually, it's how much of debt we are planning to incur from banks or people?
Largely financed internally, our debt levels are expected to remain the same as per this current balance sheet.
Okay. So on the premium liquor space, actually, the strategy is to select 5 focus markets and establish a route to market, establish a distribution channel, and ensure that the retail participation is going to be high in accepting this brand. Is that the strategy here for the premium liquor?
Yes, that is the strategy.
Right. Thanks, Shekhar. Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shekhar Swaroop for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. If there are any further questions, we remain available by email. Please do contact us, and we will get back to you. Thank you again, and have a good day.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Global Spirits Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.